somebody had actually told us, don't worry about it. If you can get to 8, you can get to 13 because you'll have adrenaline. There'll be people around. And, you know, just the experience will get you that last 5 miles. And thankfully, that's what happened.
The Diz Runs With podcast, episode 215, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode once again is sponsored by Jabra's, who makes some great wireless headphones. They've got a few different models available that are perfect for runners. You know, they're wireless, it syncs seamlessly, and in just a matter of literally a minute or two, you'll have it all set up out of the box, ready to go, you know, Bluetooth or any other wireless capabilities that your devices might have. But it's fantastic for running. There's an app that you can use. It'll, you know, track your run. And with the Pulse model, which is the model that I have, and which is also the model that Jabra is giving away to one listener at the end of the month, it'll actually track your pulse rate. If you're monitoring your heart rate, and it's accurate. It's almost scary how accurate it is, taking the your heart rate from your earbuds. I don't know how it works. I don't know what their technology is, but by God, it's spot on with what my Garmin tells me, and my Garmin's pretty darn accurate to what my, you know, fingers on my pulse tells me. So I trust it. It's an accurate reading, and I mean, like I said, it's fantastic, and I'm really thankful for Jabra for sponsoring the show. So like I said, they're giving away a free pair of the top of the line of these wireless kind of sport headphones or earbuds, and you can sign up to enter the drawing, and we'll be doing another drawing. We just did one, and we'll be doing another one at the end of February, and announcing the winner the first part of March of 2016. So all you gotta do is go to jabra.com/dizruns. That's jabra.com/dizruns. Enter your information and you'll be entered to win. But now let's get on with today's episode. Hey guys. In my opinion, my guest today is definitely a rock star in the running world, even if you've never heard of him until today. A little over 3 years ago, he weighed over 400 pounds. And fast forward today, and he's about half the man he used to be, and he's also an ultra marathoner. If that doesn't cement rock star status, I honestly don't know what does. So with that, it's time to welcome one of my fellow ultra ambassadors, Mr. Gary Stotler, to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Gary.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And guys, if you want to check out some of Gary's past and kind of where he's been and where he is now and where he wants to go, one of the best places to do that is on his website, which is outrunyourexcuses.com. And pretty much all over social media, you can find him with the handle, or, you know, search on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever. And that handle is 400, the number 400, 2-T-O, 26, and then .2. And on Twitter, they don't allow the point in the name, so it's actually 400226 and then spelled out .2. But if that's confusing in and of itself, you know where to find the links. I'll have links to all of his social media profiles and to his website as well on the show notes for today's episode, which you can find simply by going to dizruns.com/215. So, Gary, the way we always get things started on the show is to ask what can be a simple question, what can be straightforward. And for some people, it can maybe be the hardest question of the whole chat. And that's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
You know, I knew this question was coming and I thought about it a ton, and I can't pick just one, but I'm going to go with the half marathon. That's kind of the race that got it all started for me. When I signed up, I actually signed up to run one with my wife because she didn't have anybody to run one with. And that's where I caught the running bug.
Gotcha. What if you had to pick two, what was the other one you're arguing with?
You know, I love the 10K.
Okay.
Because I can just, like, now I'm to the point where I can just flat out run it. And that's my test race to see how my speed, see how my training's going. So I run one, you know, for speed probably once a month, just all out.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know, I've said on here many times that I don't care much for the 5K. It's too short and too fast and just hurts too much. I'd rather run longer stuff. But I think agree that the 10K is a pretty is much more of my preferred distance as far as short and really, like you said, to really gauge your fitness, because you can tell a lot over the course of 6.2 miles just on how you're doing, how you're feeling, how you're running, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So let's dive right in. Let's start with the most obvious place to start, and we'll see where it takes us. A few years ago, I mean, like you said, like it says on your website, and even in your handles, I mean, that's where the 400 comes from. You're 400 pounds. I'm assuming not much of a runner, probably not much of a running past leading up to that point. What was the impetus to get you started to start doing something about your health and your weight at that point?
So about 3 years ago, you know, I had obviously been struggling with my weight. I've been a humongous guy my entire life. I was a lineman in high school. Farthest I ever ran in high school was 2 miles. I ran it in track because I got in trouble, so I had to. And so, you know, I went to college, gave up my fitness, drank, did everything you do in college. And then my wife and I got married. First kid comes, I gained more weight than my wife did during the first pregnancy. Second pregnancy, gained even more weight. You know, we both struggled with weight our entire life. So 3 years ago, I stepped on the scale and hit 397 pounds. And that was it. I had had enough. It was just one of those things where everything just snapped. And walked out of the bathroom, told my wife something's got to change. And from that day forward, we've lived, you know, it, don't get me wrong, it wasn't an easy change. It wasn't something that happened overnight. It's just, it was a constant daily grind. But, you know, there's a lot of people that follow me have a misconception that I just started running right away. And it took me 18 months to take my first running step. Right. You know, I had to start eating better. I started eating less. I started walking, you know, we started walking around the block. One block led to two, and, you know, just a little bit slower, a little bit slower. And my wife's actually the one that started running first. You know, she used to run. She never tells the story, but this is how hard it was for us. She used to run in the backyard, just kind of back and forth, as whatever she could do. But she would start doing that because we were both embarrassed to be in public. You know, we didn't want to be made fun of. You know, we were big people.
Right.
You know, and so that's how she got started. And then I saw her do it, and I was motivated by her. I was inspired by her. So, you know, I started trying it. And like I said, the only reason I trained for the half marathon was to run it with her, because that was her big goal. And then I caught the bug from there and haven't looked back.
Gotcha. You mentioned it, and just for and this kind of for anybody that maybe, you know, shares this with somebody that's maybe in a similar situation and not sure what to do with their health. I'd love to take just a minute and kind of look back at, you said, you know, it's about 18 months before you started to actually take a running step. What was, you know, just a, you know, snapshot version, what was kind of, you know, what was the process of, all right, I know I need to make this change, and then getting to 18 months before you started running, what kind of, you know, a couple of things that you did, maybe a couple of specifics in case somebody hears this and is looking for a first place to start.
That's a great question. So I knew my biggest problem was overeating and the type of food that I was eating. And so the very first thing that I did, I'm huge into personal development. The weird thing is everything I've learned about weight loss, I've actually learned through sales books. And I didn't pick up a weight loss book or a fitness book until about a year ago. But the biggest thing is, don't make too many changes at once. Pick one thing and focus on it. So I had a 4-ounce salsa bowl. If I ate, it had to go in the salsa bowl first. And it didn't matter what it was, if it was M&M's or dinner, it had to go in the salsa bowl. And what I did was, I was breaking almost 30 years of overeating, and I had to break that habit first. So I learned to eat less, and I didn't change any of the food that I ate to start out with. I just, eating less was the absolute key. And by eating less, you know, I started to feel better. I didn't get as bogged down at night. You know, you have more energy when you're not bogged down with food, and especially the type of food that I was eating. So, you know, that was a huge, huge step for me. I felt better. I felt better about myself. And that really was just the springboard to making us better.
Gotcha. And it's one of those things too. And I'm sure that, you know, the reason behind that using the 4 ounce bowl is just, it prevents the mindlessness of, like, you know, grabbing a bag of chips or loading up your plate or loading up a big dish and just eating. Like, even if you refill it a couple of times, you still have to be aware of, all right, I've had this much and now I'm having this much, and just making more aware of it probably was the big catalyst, I'm imagining.
Oh, that's exactly it. And, you know, I used to use humongous plates, humongous bowls, mm-hmm. and you just naturally fill it up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I was always taught you always eat the food you take.
Definitely.
So you're starving, you know, after a long day, or you think you're starving, I guess. Mm-hmm. So you just fill up your plate and then you sit down in front of the TV. Next thing you know, it's gone. And you're like, oh, I feel miserable now. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just going to sit here for the next 3 hours until I can get up and go to bed.
Yeah, and then that just leads to, like you said, leads to all kinds of problems, not feeling good, and weight gain, and it's just a downward spiral from there.
That's exactly it. Yep.
So once you started running, and again, I know that I've heard, and I'm sure just about everybody that's listening to this, that's a regular runner, I'm sure you get it all the time now as well, where people look at you and go, oh man, it must be nice, but there's no way I could do that. How did you? I'm going to assume, and obviously you can correct me if I'm wrong, that at some point, you know, you had to transition your thought process from it would be nice to run, and maybe it was seeing your wife getting started with it and wanting to do that with her or whatever. But what was that process of getting started with running like? I'm assuming that it wasn't easy and it was, you know, progress was slow, but obviously you stuck with it. What was, you know, those first days, weeks, months of running like for you?
It was miserable. Mm-hmm. Absolutely miserable. My wife had heard about the Couch to 5K program. So she had followed that. And I read a sales book that had talked about this sales trainer, how he had got one of his secretaries who was extremely overweight, to just start walking around the block, you know, after a while, just jog a block and then be done, mm-hmm. you know, just finish your walk. So we actually used the same program, but we found it in two different ways. But that's exactly what I did. On our walk, we'd be pushing the kids in the stroller and we'd say, okay, we're going to run a block. Mm-hmm. So we'd run our block and then we'd start walking. And then when we were a separate, you know, because she would run different, or mm-hmm. she would run separate than I would, we would do the exact same thing. You know, we just worked up. Like I said, she'd run in the backyard and I'd go out first thing in the morning before anybody else was up because I was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just literally started with a block, one turn to two turn to three. And next thing you know, I could get on the treadmill and I call it running. It was mm-hmm. like a 16 minute mile, but I could run for an entire mile on the treadmill.
Wow.
And that was a huge, I mean, I almost cried the first time that I did it. Cause like I said, a mile was about what I ran in high school. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge accomplishment.
Do you remember about how long it took to get to that first mile?
I'm going to say it took six to eight weeks. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a rough guess.
Right. Well, but I wanted to ask, cause like, again, if somebody stumbles upon this somewhere down the line and is, I just want to get that, paint that picture of like you, as much as you said, it wasn't quick, it wasn't easy. Like it really does take some time. But obviously for you and for many people that have been in a similar type of situation, the persistence and that consistency over time has paid off huge for you.
Absolutely. And if there's one thing that people ask, you know, how do you do it? You make small daily changes. It's mm-hmm. not about just going out and running a mile. Cause if you run a mile this week, in a mile next week, it's really not going to do you any good. Mm-hmm. But if you go out and run a quarter of a mile every day, next thing you know, that quarter of a mile is going to turn into a half a mile mm-hmm. just because you forget what you're doing.
Right.
And that's exactly, I mean, that's how I train for my marathon. That's how I'm training for my next race. It's just one little bitty jump every single day. And eventually I'll get there and I won't hurt myself. Cause that's a big thing is I didn't want to hurt myself. My knees have been bad my entire life. So I actually, it was better for my health to take it a little bit at a time
right.
and be persistent more than just trying to go out and just trying to run a mile.
Gotcha. And that makes, I mean, I think that that's better for anybody anyway, whether they have, you know, histories of injuries or aches and pains or whatever. I mean, you know, even if you're quote normal weight and you're just going to start running, it's better to start slow and try to avoid those injuries if at all possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I get that question about, well, I could never run a mile. And I want to stress that if you just take those little teeny tiny steps, it's so much better for you.
Yeah, definitely. You know, during this time period, during this time of you transitioning and making these changes and whatnot, how were the reactions from friends and family and things like that? The people that had been around you for your entire life, you know, were they supportive? I know for sometimes, you know, people are obviously very supportive, and sometimes it can cause some tension when somebody does these types of things and kind of, you know, changing the way that they've been living. If we can get into that, how was that side of your life and this part of your journey for you?
So we didn't tell anybody for the first 6 to 8 months what we were doing. One, we were embarrassed. Two, if we failed, we didn't want to be laughed at. So it was kind of between the two of us. You know, a couple of our close friends did know, and they were extremely supportive about it. But as far as just making it, I didn't tell social media. You know, I pretty much just hid in my corner until the first year I lost 110 pounds, and it took 11 months for one of my customers to say something about the weight loss.
Wow. So it definitely took a while. Once you started to tell people at that point, I mean, maybe because it had been so long and you're starting to see some success, were people then, I mean, for the most part, supportive?
It was incredible. So on my 1 year anniversary, I posted a picture of myself at 400 pounds and then 110 pounds lighter. And it was friends from college that I hadn't seen in forever, and friends that, you know, friends and customers that I see, you know, every month, just didn't put two and two together that there was changes. And then when you look at them a year apart, it was just incredible. Everybody's been awesome about it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Has you and your wife's journey to this point made any changes or maybe made any impact to some of your friends and family that have seen it and maybe been inspired to do something about their health as well?
I think so. I do. I get quite a few emails, quite a few messages through social media. I notice it a lot. Maybe it's just because I'm noticing, but I notice a lot of people making eating changes or, you know, running a 5K or a 10K. I spend a lot of my time talking about it. People ask tons of questions about it, and I love it. You know, I wish I could have found somebody that I was inspired by that could have shown me how hard it's going to be, but how worth it really is.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect tie-in or lead-in to exactly what I wanted to talk about next. And, you know, some of the difficulties, some of the things that you struggle with. You know, over the course of these last 3 years, from you know, start point to today, what has been maybe the one or two or three or however many, I mean, if you've got more that popped to mind, but what are some of the biggest struggles, biggest hurdles that you've had to deal with?
Snickers, candy bars, M&Ms.
So you're saying you've got a bit of a sweet tooth.
I love sweets. Absolutely love sweets. And again, that's where the salsa bowl came in handy because I didn't have to give them up. Mm-hmm. I just ate less. And for all the people that want to laugh, it's no problem. But yes, a 4 ounce bowl of M&Ms was cutting it down at that point in time because I could mindlessly eat a huge bag of M&Ms and not think twice about it.
Right.
But I just became conscious about it. And, you know, you cut it by 75%, I could still get sweet tooth and I didn't feel guilty about it. So, I mean, just small changes like that made a huge difference over time.
Gotcha. No, it is something that I don't laugh at that. I mean, I'm the same way. Like I have great self-control when it comes to being at the store. I rarely am tempted by anything at the grocery store, at Target, whatever, you know, junk food, candy, anything like that to bring it home. But once it's home, man, I really struggle and you know, not that we have arguments about it, but every once in a while I shake my fist at my wife because she'll bring something home and be like, oh, here's a treat for you. Like, you know, and she's doing it out of love. And I'm going, man, you get this fun size bag of peanut M&Ms. That's my weakness big time. And like, I mean, just like you, like I will not necessarily maybe hold it in my lap and mindlessly eat it. But like every time I walk into the kitchen for a cup of coffee, like it's another handful. And every time like I get up off the couch for any reason, it's another handful. And you know, that whole huge bag is gone within a day, 2 days. And it's like I almost want to eat it just to get it out of the house to avoid the temptation any longer. But you know, that kind of stuff can certainly add up quickly if you're not careful.
Oh my goodness, I'm so happy you said that, because I am exactly like you. Exactly. And actually, I've already written next week's blog, and it's about, I touch on that subject about how I can keep from buying it, mm-hmm. but once it's in the house, it's gone. My wife can buy it all day, and she can just stare at it in the cupboard and never, ever touch it. So it's actually really funny that you said that, because, I've already written about that for next week.
Yeah, I mean, and it's you know, it sounds like our wives are fairly similar too. Like my wife will want to make, you know, she'll have a hankering for a brownie, and so she'll make a whole pan of brownies to have one, and then complain that 4 days later or 5 days later when she wants another one, there's no brownies left. And so, babe, we've been married for 10 years. Like, you know how this is going to play out. Like it's the same story every time.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm glad we're not the only couple that's just like that.
Definitely. Any injuries or little setbacks as far as that goes during the course of your weight loss and you know, running up to this point?
After I ran my marathon in May last year, I had a knee issue. I think it was IT band. I did not cross train enough. I was swimming every day, but I wasn't doing enough other cross training, weightlifting. Mm-hmm. So that came up, and I dealt with that through, I ran a Colfax marathon in May. That was my first one. And that's where I hurt my knee. And then I ran 31 miles for my 31st birthday, which is my first ultra marathon, mm-hmm. The month later. So I just wore a knee band and all that fun stuff. And then I ran the Revel marathon in July and fought through the knee pain through that one. And then I took it easy for the rest of the summer, let everything heal up. Gotcha. And by the time I ran the Rock and Roll half marathon in October of 2015, everything seems to be healed, and I haven't had much problem with it. And I've changed my cross training, mm-hmm. weightlifting, all of that to make sure that I can keep it strong for this year.
Gotcha. So let's get to when you kind of started, kind of, I guess, backtracking a little bit from where we just were, but you know, getting into running, your wife signs up for a half marathon, or that's like her big goal. And so it gets you into it as well. Like, all right, I'm going to do this with you. And then you said before that's where you caught the bug. Once you started getting bit by the running bug, what were some of your first goals for running at that point?
Oh, so the first thing was I wanted to run 5 miles. Mm. And on Father's Day 2014, I ran 5 miles, and it was phenomenal. I went out. I don't want to say it was easy, but because that's where I set my goal, and I said, today I'm going to do it, I went out and I just ran it. I look back now, and it was so slow. It was like 13 minutes a mile. But I didn't care. You know, I did the distance. It was a big, big deal for me. It was a big goal. And from there, it was such a great experience. And then I struggled so much over the next 3 months to get from 5 to 8. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I went out, and we were doing our last training run together before the half marathon. And we got to 8 miles, and we both died. We were thirsty. We had no idea about hydration. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what we had gotten ourselves into. So we were both scared that week before the half marathon, because we were still 5 miles short. And somebody had actually told us, don't worry about it. If you can get to 8, you can get to 13, because you'll have adrenaline. There'll be, mm-hmm. people around. And, you know, just the experience will get you that last 5 miles. And thankfully, that's what happened. But, you know, there was nothing like coming down that last stretch when you see that mile 13, mm-hmm. and then you come around that corner and you see the finish line. I just can't even, I can't even explain the feeling that I get every single time I see that finish line.
Yeah, it's a feeling that hasn't worn off on me yet either. Whether it's, and maybe for some of the shorter stuff, I don't get quite as, you know, like I said, with 5K, like it just can't be done quick enough. So like that's the feeling I get at that finish line. But yeah, you start getting into the longer stuff, the halves and the fulls, certainly the fulls for me. It still brings about just a feeling that is almost impossible to put into words. It's just, it's special to say the least.
Absolutely. And you know, if you knew me at all, I'm an emotional guy, wear my emotions on my sleeve, and you can always tell what's going through my mind. And I tear up, if not just flat out bawl, every time I cross the finish line.
Right.
You know, as soon as I see it, my adrenaline gets going, and I can't help but sprint through the finish line.
Uh-huh. When did marathons and ultra marathons come into the picture of maybe I'm going to keep pushing farther than 13.1?
So when I finished, the second I finished the half marathon, after you get over that initial, I can't believe I just did that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, you know, I did it. I wonder what I could do.
Mm.
And, it was a question. I just passed by it. And then I was sitting there thinking, and Nikki and I were talking, and I go, you know, I wonder if I could finish it. She said, I bet, you know, I know you could if you set your goal and you just worked for it. So I talked about it and I talked about it and I talked about it. And finally she goes, you know what, why don't you just start training for one, see how you go. And so at the end of 2014, about, it would have been mid-November, early December 2014, right after we finished the half marathon, I call it building a base, just going in and just making sure my legs are strong, my heart's strong for those shorter distances, and then just working up a little bit. And I was up to, I live in Wyoming, so it gets really cold here and really windy and really snowy. So I do a lot of treadmill running.
Oh, I'm sorry. I
know how much you hate treadmill running. So I had got up to, I think I'd got up to running 10 miles regularly on the treadmill, you know, for one time a week, long run. And it was devastating. I hated it. But, you know, I kept talking about the marathon, and finally I get an email one day that says, you've been registered for the Colfax Marathon. And my wife just got tired of me talking about it. And she said, here you go, go do it. And so thankfully my wife gave me that friendly, polite push to, you know, go after what I really, really wanted. So I spent 4 or 5 months training for the Colfax Marathon. Went through some tough times where I said, there's no way I can do it. And went through some tough times where I was like, wow, this is going to be awesome when I do.
Yeah. It's the marathon. As somebody who hasn't done an ultra distance race or even, you know, anything ultra distancey that wasn't a race. So I can't speak of those type of longer events, but, man, I mean, just the marathon is the training process, the race itself, like it's such an up and down, and I can totally relate to, man, I don't know if I can do this in one step or in one run, and then the next day or even that later during that same run, like it's that feeling of, man, it really is going to be awesome when you do it. So it's definitely a special race in my heart, and obviously you did all right with it. You said you've ran a couple marathons now.
Yep, I've ran two. I ran the Colfax in May of last year, and then it's called the Rebel in July.
Okay. Are you kind of looking forward to the future a little bit? What do you have goals for, more races or longer distances, or what are some of your running goals from this point going forward?
So this year my big race is going to be the Leadville Silver Rush 50 Mile. It's July 10th. And that was kind of one of those things where I'm always looking to push myself forward, and that seemed like the next logical, well, for a runner, the next logical step. For a normal person, it's, are you crazy?
But, right.
So that's my big race for this year. If that goes well, I am looking toward 100K and 100 mile, but I'll cross that bridge when I cross the finish line at Leadville.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's shooting big, but that's awesome. I've said many times on the show, and I'm sure that eventually I'm going to get into ultra distance territory. But I don't know that I'll go. I don't know that I have any desire, at least at this point. And obviously, who knows what the future holds? But to go any farther than 50K, you know, I can cross ultra off of ultra distance off of my list, or at least tell people that are ragging me, and I've got several that keep ragging me to do an ultra distance event that I can be like, hey, look, 50K, I'm done. I've done it. Maybe someday I'll come back. But you got some at least the thoughts in your head already of maybe going real big on some of those ultra distance races.
Absolutely. Yep. I've always had this mentality of just pushing myself. And, I think that's what helped me get through the weight loss. Mm-hmm. And that's what's helped me kind of get myself into running and push farther. But, it gives me a goal, and
right,
the bigger the goal, the easier it is for me to wake up in the morning. I mean, a lot of times I wake up before 4 without my alarm clock just because I'm excited to start training. And that, when I have that level of excitement, it just makes my whole entire day better.
Right, right. You've mentioned a time or two, kind of the importance of kind of personal development and how, certainly the early stages, and even I would say, if I'm kind of reading between the lines, the majority of the process, the journey that you've been on has been fueled and inspired by some of the personal development and business books and things like that you've been into. How did you get started with that? What are a couple of great book suggestions for those of us that maybe have been done it the other way, where we do a lot of reading about running and running theory and fitness and health and all that kind of stuff, and maybe we're missing some, and this is me speaking for myself, man, I'm missing some of the personal development side of things. So what are some books that maybe you would recommend for me and the role that they've played for you to this point?
That's a fantastic question, and I'm going to hit the first one first on how I got into it.
Okay.
So when I graduated college, I had my first son was on the way. I had my choice between working at McDonald's or selling cars. Mm. And I chose selling cars because it paid better and I didn't want to smell like French fries, because I've worked at fast food, mm-hmm. Through high school and college. I had had enough of it. So I started selling cars. The owner of the Toyota dealership that I worked with, I don't know how big his library is, but it's probably as big as the public library. Mm. And so one day I picked up a book called Sell to Survive by Grant Cardone, blew through it in about 7 hours. That one book, reading it, was more books that I read in college. So I read through that and I started getting excited. Just to give you an idea of the times that this was December 2008, right in the middle of the Great Recession.
Right.
So you can imagine how many people are not buying cars. Mm-hmm. So I read that book and I just, for the first time in my entire life, I got excited about reading. I think I found a subject that I was interested in. So my boss just fed me books, like I was going out of style. Mm-hmm. And end of 2012, I read a series of books, and these are the ones that I would highly, highly recommend for anybody. The first one is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Mm-hmm. A super long book, super intelligent. It took him about 20, 25 years to write that book. And there's a reason that it is one of the best-selling books ever. Mm-hmm. So that would be number one, kind of lays just a base foundation on just how to think. And by knowing how to think, I think that's one reason that I do think big. Mm-hmm. And I know that I can do that next step. The next book would be called The Compound Effect by Darian Hardy. So the idea behind this book is, if you get a little bit better every single day with persistence, you'll be better off in the long run. So the basic, if you've heard of the compounding penny, where if I offer you $3 million today, or a penny that compounds every day for 31 days, mm-hmm. you end up with $10 million if you take the penny that compounds every day.
Right.
So the major concept, he's also the one that came up with the idea with his secretary of, just walking and then jogging a block at a time. Mm-hmm. That's where I got that idea. Mm-hmm. he also has an idea in that book that really, really hit home for me. He talks about, and actually he tells a story about Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz says, if you just cut out 125 calories in your diet, you'd lose 33 pounds in almost 3 years. And then he goes through the math. You know, you cut out one bowl of cereal, mm-hmm. you know, over this time, you know, over a year, you can't really tell. Over 2 years, you can't really tell. But when you get to that 30th month, you've lost 33 pounds.
Right.
So that really hit home for me. Well, he also talks about if you would just walk an extra 5,000-6,000 steps and burn 125 calories more every day, you'd lose that same 33 pounds over 30 months. Well, I said, well, what if you put your hands together and cut out 125 calories and then walk 125 mm-hmm. calories? You'd lose that 33 pounds in half the time. Well, when I finally stepped on the scale, that's exactly why I went to the salsa bowl, because I figured, you know, if I can cut out more than 125 calories, you know, I've got this. And so the days where I wanted to eat more, I just kept going back to, you know, if you don't eat it, you don't have to fight it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge, huge concept for me. The next book is called The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. And this was the guy that I picked up the very first book. He's mm-hmm. a huge sales trainer out of Miami now. And he is by far my favorite person in the whole entire world. I actually got to meet him in November 2012, right before I started my journey. And I think the conference that I went to with him also helped me get my mindset right. So when I did, when this did happen, I was just ready to go with it. But the 10X rule says set your goals 10 times higher than you think you want to go, and then find your action you think it'd take to get to those high goals, and then multiply your action by 10. So essentially, you can't come up short on your goal, on your original goal, because you're working so hard to get to an even higher goal.
Right.
So that's something that I've always just taken to heart. I've always been a hard worker. I just didn't work hard. I guess I didn't have a goal to work hard for. So I think that's another reason that I set those goals so high, is it gives me something to wake up for, and it gives me a reason to put in all the extra effort.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, just from hearing you talk about these books, just in the little bits and pieces of it, I can see how they can be very, you know, for business or for personal development, but how those same lessons are very easily transferable and very easily relate to running, to health, to fitness, to diet, to just about any avenue of life. You know, you could draw some very easy parallels to. So it kind of makes sense that if that was what you were into, and you know, and then you're like, all right, well, maybe I want to start running and you know, losing some weight and taking a little bit better care of my health. Like, all those same lessons transfer and relate. And you know, it's just an easy, I don't want to say that the journey wasn't easy, obviously, but the lessons easily transferred, and you're able to just, you know, pick up and keep going at that point.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, one thing I noticed is as I set my business goals higher, I needed more energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just, at 400 pounds, you can't run around a car dealership all day long. It just doesn't work that way. So I think in the back of my head, I was starting to realize that there was a change that needed. I just didn't have that breaking point. Jim Rohn, I'll finish up with books that have helped. Jim Rohn is probably the premier business philosopher of the 20th century. And he talks about the day that turns your life around. And you'll hit a breaking point where you just say, I've had enough. That's it. I'm done. From this day forward, it's not going to be this way. And when I stepped on the scale that day, I hit that day that turned your life around. And, you know, he talks about it over and over and over again in all of his seminars and his books. And I think that was the day, and I was ready for it. I had been preparing for it. I just hadn't had that day yet.
Right. Right. So kind of looking back in the rearview mirror now, what would you say, have maybe been the one, two, three, whatever, the biggest changes that, I mean, obviously when you were going to get started, you know, you're going to trying to lose some weight, be healthier, things like that. But outside of kind of what the obvious goals were going to be or the obvious aims that you were pointing towards, what have been some of the other changes that you've noticed? And maybe energy, obviously, probably is one of them that you just kind of touched on. But other things that you've noticed about, you know, your health, your life, your relationships, or things like that from, you know, 400 pounds to now?
That's a phenomenal question. So the number one thing that has been better is my family life. Mm-hmm. So when Nikki and I first started walking, you know, it kind of gave us a chance to decompress. It gave us a chance to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we were high school sweethearts. We've been together for, gosh, I think we're coming up on 15 or 16 years this year that we've been together. And so after a certain point, you know, anybody that's been in a relationship, you know that there's a distance between you. And, you know, sometimes the kids just overtake everything and work overtakes everything. But it gave us a chance to just talk. And not about work, not about the family, just kind of get back to knowing each other. Mm-hmm. So it gave us that time to do it. We got rid of our cable subscription. We had DirecTV for God knows how long. You know, I used to be a huge football fan. Mm-hmm. I'd sit, you know, I'd watch football from Tuesday night through Monday night. and so you can imagine how much I didn't do with my family. Mm-hmm. And so that gave us a time to just talk. You know, so that helped a ton. And then, you know, we would talk more. We felt better about ourselves because we were losing weight. And so, you know, we refound that attraction to each other that started when we were, you know, 16 years old. And so that was a huge, huge deal for us. It's, you know, I can tell you, we've been together for 15, 16 years and our relationship has never, ever been better.
Awesome.
And I think the fitness aspect of it, you know, the attraction, the time that we have together, the Colfax Marathon in May, she runs the half, I run the full, and that's our wedding anniversary weekend. Mm. So it gives us a reason to, you know, a reason to go and spend the weekend with each other, do something that we enjoy. And so I think that's been a big thing for us. And then our kids, you know, not to say that my kids ever hated me, but when I worked at my previous job selling cars, I worked a ton of hours. You know, I didn't ever see my kids. I didn't get to take them to birthday parties. When I came home, I was so tired from the day that I'd just sit and eat and sit in front of the TV. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm, you know, I have the energy, I literally go from 4 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. And I can work out. I can go run 20 miles in the morning and then come home and play with my kids all day, put them down for a nap. And then when they wake up, I can wake them up and, you know, I can keep going with them. And so they love that dad has energy. I mean, just flat out. I have never had a better relationship with my kids either. Cause I can do stuff with them. Mm-hmm. I can spend time with them. We went to a birthday party a couple weeks ago, and after I woke up, did CrossFit, did my run for the morning, did yoga, came home, showered, went to the birthday party, and then I ran around with a bunch of four-year-olds for about an hour and a half. And the kids loved it. I had just a phenomenal time. Mm-hmm. And without a couple lifestyle changes, I could have never done that.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I've always said and always thought that, you know, that your health obviously impacts every phase of your life, and it's so cool to see how, you know, how that's played out for you and with the kids and with your wife. And you know, if we went on for another hour, we could probably get into a dozen other areas of your life that has changed for the better because of you taking care of your health a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. I could talk for days and days and days about this.
Definitely. So Gary, as we're getting kind of close to wrapping things up here, starting to think about putting a bow on this thing, if somebody's listening, whether they're, you know, 400 pounds or whether they're overweight and weight loss is a goal, but I think that what I'm kind of getting the most from you is just how obviously driven you are, how once you set your mind to a big goal, whether it's to start running, whether it's to run, you know, the half marathon with your wife, the marathon eventually, you know, who knows, the 50 miler, but you know, who knows whether 100K, 100 mile. I feel like, you know, you're pretty good at setting these goals and then working towards them. And I know for a fact that that's something that some people struggle with whether you call them, you know, New Year's resolutions, whether you call them big goals, like whatever your time frame is. I know a lot of folks and sometimes myself, but I think that I'm somewhat okay with a big goal. But, you know, we have a struggle with setting that goal and then working towards it day after day after day. And that consistency, you know, that is required to tackle a big goal. So for anybody listening, whether it's weight loss, whether it's to run their first marathon, to run their first ultra, to run their first 5K, like I don't care what the goal is. It, you know, if it's a big goal to you, it's a big goal. As we're kind of wrapping up, what are, you know, a couple of tips, a couple of things that you've learned either from doing it yourself or from the books you've read or anything like that, to kind of just to put a nice bow on this today for, you know, here's some things you can do to help you achieve those big goals that maybe people in your life don't think you can achieve. Maybe sometimes you don't think you can achieve, but if you want to do it, here's, you know, a few things to do to get you started on the path.
Excellent question. So first thing is do what you want to do and don't care what anybody else says about it. There's going to be people that think you're crazy. There's going to be people that say you can't do it. There's going to be people that say you can do it and they're excited for you. But once you set your mind on something, focus on it and go after it. Don't care what anybody else thinks. You know, self-image, self-confidence is something that you have to build. It's not something that you just have. And you just have to focus on it and not care what anybody else thinks about it. So on the focus on your goal, I use what's called a vision board. And I don't know if you've heard of this before, but think of when you were a little kid, and you're about the same age as I am. So think about going to the JCPenney or the Sears catalog before Christmas, circling what you wanted, or cutting it out and putting it on your wall. I do that. I have a mirror in my bathroom that I have all my major goals written on. So the first place you go, the first place I go in the morning is there. One, because it's 4 o'clock and my wife isn't really thrilled when I wake her up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So that's where I get ready to go. But I have a mirror. I can literally see myself reading my goals and I can read them out loud. And I see those goals at least 365 times a year. And I usually visit that place more than once. So imagine that you're reading your goals out loud over 1,000 times a year. Now tell me that you would have a hard time not focusing on the positive stuff in your life. So I have that mirror in my bathroom. I have a mirror over where I shave in the morning. That has my training schedule on. I know exactly what I'm going to be doing this week. You know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I know exactly what I'm going to be doing for the week. I see it every day, and I have some sort, at least one, if not two or three motivational quotes right underneath it. And I read those, again, 365 days a year. Then I have two other vision boards in my room that I just have, you know, business goals, financial goals, family goals. I do have some running goals on it as well. And, you know, just motivational quotes all over this corner of my room. Again, I read and read and read over these goals over and over and over again. I have another vision board on a separate wall that has my full training schedule. I was in the newspaper, the local newspaper here last year. I have a copy of that article. I have some more motivational quotes on that wall. And so whenever I'm reading my training schedule, I have some more stuff to look at. And then the most important vision board that I have is right next to my alarm clock. And it reads, 4 a.m. means 4 a.m., Silver Rush 50, don't give up. And it says, eat well, train hard, run epic. And then it has a picture of my old self, a picture of what I look like after I ran my first half marathon, and then it sits right over my alarm clock. So if you think you can hit snooze and then stare at that, it's pretty hard to do. So I focus on my goals. That's the big thing, you know, because the more I focus on the positive stuff in my life, the easier it is to get to the negative stuff.
That's good stuff. That's a great play. That's a great bit of wisdom to leave on today. So, guys, again, if you want to check out more of what Gary's up to, and I mean, his blog posts are all about, you know, scrolling through it. There's a lot of motivation, a lot of, you know, things we didn't even talk about. He wrote a letter to himself when he got started, you know, three plus years ago of kind of, you know, just to continue to motivate himself, you know, a lot like the vision board stuff that he was talking about. And the most recent post as of this recording, it'll be a couple posts back once you finally listen to this, but is kind of looking back at that letter, and he shares the letter he wrote himself. So definitely check out his blog, check out his website, outrunyourexcuses.com. Links will be in the show notes, dizruns.com/215, and I'll also have obviously all the links to his social media accounts. Connect with them, say hi, and you know, let him know where you heard him. Let him know you heard about his story. Listen to the podcast, you know, what your takeaways are. You know how I love talking about the takeaways. So share your takeaways with Gary as well. So, Gary, it's been awesome. I'm glad we got to connect, definitely looking forward to stay connected. And who knows, maybe after Leadville, maybe we'll do this again. Get a little recap on how Leadville went and how the journey continues for you at that point.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. And I'm looking at another ultra down in Florida, so I might come see you next January.
Hey, absolutely. That would be a good time. So we'll definitely, again, we'll stay in touch for sure, between the running and what you got going on, and even just the ultra ambassador stuff. I mean, shoot, that's we didn't even talk about that either, but you know, it is what it is. But again, Gary, thanks for taking the time this morning. Thanks for it was great. I hopefully it inspired a lot of folks, and obviously all the best going forward in 2016 and beyond.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you having me, and I look forward to talking again.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen in on today's conversation, today's chat between Gary and myself. I don't even know where to begin. This was nothing against anybody else, because I feel like I've had a lot of great shows and a lot of great interviews. This one strikes me. This one's a little bit different. You know, just. What an incredible story. What an incredible story and change and transformation that Gary's gone through. If you haven't clicked over to the show notes, definitely check out, there's a picture on the show notes, which for today it's at dizruns.com/215, and there's a link in your phone and all that kind of good stuff. If you haven't checked it out, just see the picture, the before and after, the then and the now of Gary. It's crazy. Just how much weight he's lost, how much better, obviously, you know, we talked about how much better he feels, all the differences that have come about in his life since he started this journey. And it's not over yet, but, you know, just continues to move on. And I don't even know how to nail down a takeaway. I think that for me, the thing that I'm already implementing after listening to this episode, so I guess that's the takeaway, is just the power of the vision boards. I've heard about, you know, visualizations and putting your intentions out there, and I do that to a small scale, but after hearing Gary talk about, you know, writing things on the mirror, that, I mean, immediately when we were chatting, that was the thing. I said, I have to do this. I have to implement this, and just put those visual cues, those visual reminders of the goals I'm working towards, the things that I want to achieve, both in running, in my, you know, the business side of my life, the, you know, just personal goals, personal development goals, things like that. Just keep those things out there and continue to see them, continue to be reminded of them. And, I mean, I've heard about this before, and I just haven't taken action. And, something about our chat today has spurred me, and, my mirror is covered now. Up the upstairs bathroom here, my office bathroom, if you will, the mirror is covered in dry erase marker, and just got the goals and visions and plans and you know, big goals, short term goals, but just put them out there, and now I get to look at them all the time, and hopefully I'll have, you know, a percentage of the success that this has had for Gary, and if that's the case, it'll be well worth taking that time. And man, just a great conversation. And as always, I'd love to know what your takeaways are. What stood out to you? What inspired you the most? What from our conversation today has spurred you to take action in any area of your life? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or head over to show notes. Like I said, while you're checking out the picture, there's also a picture of Gary and his wife at the finish line of one of the races they ran. But while you're there, dizruns.com/215, leave a comment. That way everybody can see what your takeaway is and comment on it and respond and build and grow. And we can have a little conversation together. It would be fantastic. So thanks again for listening, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks again to Jabra for sponsoring today's episode. It's, again, get yourself a free pair of headphones. They're great. They're high quality. And I mean, they're free. Who doesn't love something like that? So Jabra.com/DizRuns. Links in the show notes. Links in your mobile phone, mobile device, whatever you're listening to this on, you can click a link right where you're listening to it and get you there in 25 seconds. You'll be entered, and that's all you have to do. So again, thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. I liked it. I had a lot of fun with this one. And it's motivated me and inspired me to do some things to help with my personal development, my personal growth. And that's really gonna make me a better runner, hopefully better podcaster, and even more importantly, hopefully a better father, better husband, and a better person. So thanks for listening, guys. Hope you have a great rest of your day. And I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Take care, guys.